You're listening to the Candid Comms podcast with Rachel Miller. Tune in for practical advice and inspirational ideas to help you focus on all things internal communication related. Hello and welcome to the show. Today we are thinking about setting standards in internal communication, and you are going to leave with one thing to know, one thing to do, and one thing to think about. Let's get started. We're going to start with what we need to know, and what I want us to really focus on is setting standards as an internal communication team by answering the question, what operating model do you have in place inside your organization? I wonder what your gut feel is then. If you and I were having a conversation and I said, tell me about your team, tell me about how internal communication is set up, what's your operating model? Is it really clear in your mind? Could you confidently have a conversation with me and explain how the team's structured, what you prioritize, how you're set up for success, how you are partnering with the business, for example? Or does it feel like it's all in the mix somewhere, but it's not a very clear operating model? If so, don't worry, there is no judgment from me at all here. I'm here to help you think it through. Some organisations have a central team where there's a hub and spoke model in place. And I'm going to share in the show notes at allthingsic.com/podcast in the show notes for this episode. I'll share an example with you of what I mean. Before we dive into a model, I encourage you to listen to these words. An internal communication team sets the communication standards for the rest of the organisation. You are the subject matter experts and you determine what excellent internal communication looks like. Varying degrees of communication accountability may sit with others, for example, people managers. They may have job descriptions that state they need to meet with their teams and have conversations, but you are the centre of excellence. How do you feel when I say that? Do you agree with that? How is that showing up for you today in your organisation? Or if you're job hunting at the moment, are you looking for that? Are you looking for an organisation that truly feels that the internal communication team set those communication standards for the rest of the organisation? I can tell you from experience, particularly in my in-house career, when the business don't treat the internal communicators like that, it impacts your ability to do your job well inside that organisation. The words that I've just shared with you are taken from my book, Internal Communication Strategy. In one of the first episodes in this season, I introduced you to the Miller framework, which is mindset, insights, logistics, leadership, evaluation, and revision. And that formed the structure of the book. And it's also the framework that I use in various ways in my internal communication work, particularly to help me write an internal communication strategy. And the leadership part of that Miller framework is where this conversation fits in. Setting internal communication standards, for me, the leadership part isn't just about how internal communication happens inside the organisation. It's looking at how you will deliver a strategy and the role that leaders and managers play. So it's not just about the role of you in leading internal communication, but it's that dual partnership, if you like, in terms of how you lead internal communication and set standards, and also the role of leaders and managers. But for today, let's focus on you, on how you lead internal communication inside your organisation and how you set the standards. If you're looking for permission to set standards in your organisation, comms friends, this is it. I am giving you that permission today. Don't wait for permission to step into your role. You are a professional, credible, trusted expert. You are hired. Whatever your job description says, there'll be clues in there of how you're seen, what you are expected to do, the role that you've been hired for. I am certain that part of that will be setting standards. You are role modeling what good internal communication looks like. So that's what I want you to know. I want you to really feel that purpose and understand that you are that role model inside your organisation. And if it doesn't feel like that, why not? What are the barriers and blockers? And let's be really candid, comms friends, because this is the Candid Comms podcast. Are those barriers and blockers imposed by the organisation, or are they imposed by you? Is it a lack of confidence in your ability? Is it you think I'm not senior enough, or I'm not experienced enough? Or is it a sense of other people who've been here before me have done a great job? Or sometimes the opposite is true. Other people who've been in that organisation before you have done an atrocious job. And as a result, it makes your job a heck of a lot harder. I feel you. I've been in that situation. It's incredibly difficult and frustrating. However, do not wait for permission to set the standards. This is what I want you to do as a result of listening to this episode. So what we need to know is operating models and whether there are standards in place. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But really, what I want you to know is that this is your job. This is your role. You are an internal communication expert. You are there to do a brilliant job. What that looks like, what that sounds like, what that feels like is within your gift. It's for you to use your skills, your passion, your experience, your knowledge of not only the wonderful world of internal communication, but your business to make the right choices and make the right decisions. So what we need to do, what I want to encourage you to do, is to map out the people who have responsibility for internal communication in your organisation. I mentioned hub and spoke model at the start of our conversation together. So in my mind, the internal communication team should be viewed as the people who are role modelling outstanding internal communication, and you are giving advice and guidance to others. This could even be a team of one person. When you have a hub and spoke, and it's, I'm showing you with my hands and you can't see me. Imagine a spider. Remember a spider diagram at work? It's kind of like that. So the centre, the body of the spider, and I hate spiders, can't believe I'm talking about spiders. But the centre of that model is the internal communication team. Okay, that's at the hub. And then the spokes are other people inside an organisation who may have responsibility for internal communication. So that central internal communication team is the hub. And then the spokes, my goodness, there could be all sorts of people at the end of those spokes. You could have employee networks. So that's normally groups of employees, maybe employee resource groups. You might have location-based champions. That's people who can help the flow of communication across your business. You might have an editorial board, which is a cross-functional group of employees who are asked their views on planned and previous internal communication. And that's an important one there, comms friends, planned and previous. So what is it we're going to do and what is it that we've done? That continuous cycle of improvement and measuring, checking for understanding, testing, recall, what do people remember, what stood out, etc. Another group of people on the end of a spoke could be people who have communication as part of their role. So they might have a percentage of time dedicated to internal communication. And that very often includes people like executive assistants, or maybe your assistant to the CEO, for example. They may have a portion of their time dedicated to internal communication. You may also have internal influencers. So employees who are well connected inside the organisation. And I encourage you to consider, if you're mapping influencers and you're looking at who are the noisy people, as I often describe them, I don't just want you to gather in the positive people. You need to hear the negative ones too. So why are people being negative? If the sentiment across your organisation shows that there's discontent in certain areas, why? Why are those people unhappy about something? So those internal influencers are really important for you as an internal communicator to know. If you and I were sitting together, we were mapping out, we were doing a network map of your organization, and we're doing a hub and spoke model with you at the center, whether you see yourself like that or not, go with me on this one. At the very end of that spoke, if I spoke to you and had a conversation with you about internal influencers, I would want you to come up with a list. Who are the people who are influential internally? And it's not always due to their job title. It might be their length of service. It might be where they sit in the organisation, or the location that they're in, or the type of role that they do. It could be all sorts of different things that makes them an internal influencer. Other people who could be at the end of your spokes could be leaders at all levels. They need to know their communication responsibilities. I know I talk about this a lot. It's a real bugbear of mine. When it feels like, and you'll have heard me say this before, comms friends, internal communication is in our job titles, but it's in everybody's job descriptions, including our leaders. And then another community of people could be comms champions. So they could be elected volunteers who provide feedback, give you ideas and insights, and they help the organisation to communicate. Sometimes that's for very particular projects like an IT refresh or an intranet rollout or change champions. So we are mapping your organisation and we are looking at who are the groups of people or individuals who have responsibility for communicating inside the business. That's really important. Again, this is an exercise that you could do if you're part of a comms team where it's not just you, where you can map out the organisation and look at who are the people who we think have responsibility and accountability for internal comms and swap notes with each other. Are we clear who those people are inside our organisation? And once you've done that, once you've mapped out that hub and spoke model, you've got yourself or your team at the centre and you've written out who all of those different communities are or groups of people are, ask yourself this question. Do I have good enough working relationships with all of these groups? Be really honest with yourself. In the hub and spoke model that I described that I've put in my book, there are arrows, there are two-way arrows that go from that centre, that body of the spider we talked about, from the centre to the legs and back again. And the reason being is because you need to have excellent relationships across the organisation with those people, but it has to be two-way. You need to be making sure you are listening to these respective groups of people because that will help you shape the relevancy and accuracy of internal communication inside your organisation. You may also have union representatives to add into that mix or a works council. So do consider those people as well. Our job here, from a setting standards perspective, this is your operating model, okay? A hub and spoke is an operating model. So what that means is we need to then create robust advice and guidance for the organisation, which you can use in a self-service capacity. So all those people at the end of those spokes, they are not your direct reports. They're probably reporting into other people. However, if you are setting the standards, you are that centre of excellence, you are role modelling what brilliant internal communication looks like, then you need to make sure you have the ability to equip those people in a self-service capacity. And what I mean by that is that you're not doing everything for them, but you're helping them understand what good looks like or even what excellent looks like. So maybe that's creating a one-page guide of writing a story, for example, where you're giving it to them perhaps with templates or toolkits or advice and guidance. You cannot do the internal communication at all of those levels across the organisation, but what you can do is you can set the standards. So maybe you're doing one-page guides on writing stories or sharing a tone of voice guideline, or maybe tasking those groups or individuals to be roving reporters or storytellers, whatever is right for the culture of your organisation. Be really clear whether, and there's a really good model, I'll include it in the show notes, from Bill Quirk from his brilliant book, Making the Connections, in 2008 or 9, I think it's 8, 2008. And in that book, Bill talks about being clear whether you are operating in a crafting and drafting style or consultant and coach capacity. In my mind, that's how you show up as internal communicators, what you're known for inside your organisation. So if you are the crafters and drafters, if you think, well, Rachel, I like writing. I don't want to send a one-page guide to writing a story. I want to tell those people as the centre of excellence in my organisation that I will write the stories for them. They can give me bullet points and maybe I'll give them an editorial brief for them to fill in, but I want to write the content. Absolutely fine. You do you. If you're in a crafting and drafting mentality in your organisation, that's something you're comfortable with and you want to do, go for it. Or if you're trying to shift into more a strategic role or strategic consultancy coach style inside the organization, which is the top quadrant of Bill Quirk's model that I'm trying to describe to you, which is hard on audio. So it will be in the show notes at allthingsic.com/podcast in the show notes for this episode. If you're operating more in that consultant and coach capacity, then you are setting standards and equipping other people to do all that crafting and drafting, and you're there as that strategic oversight and overview. So there was a lot in there. That's something I want you to know is consider the operating model that you have in place. Are you working in a hub and spoke model? Are you really clear that you are setting the standards for your organization? Something I want you to do is map out the people who have responsibility for internal communication. You may have another operating model in place in your organization, and that's completely okay. The purpose of sharing the hub and spoke is to get you to think perhaps a bit differently about how you show up for those people inside the organization, to be really clear, what's my role here? What's expected of them? What can they expect of me? It might be that you've got all this completely nailed and you've listened to this episode thinking, well, I do all this already, and that's really clear and everyone knows. Amazing. Well done you. Keep doing that. The clearer you are as internal communicators about the role that you're doing, the standards you're setting, every single person in your organization will benefit when you have clear, consistent communication happening across all layers and levels of an organization where everybody understands what's going on. You have good, credible, accurate, reliable information to help your people do their jobs. Amazing. Brilliant. Keep doing that. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I will leave you with something to think about. See you in a moment. The Candid Comms podcast is brought to you by All Things IC. My brilliant team and I offer consultancy, training, and mentoring to support in-house internal communicators so you can thrive in your role. I established the business back in 2013, and over the years, we have helped thousands of internal communicators increase your skills, knowledge, and confidence. See allthingsic.com to find out more. You'll discover the latest offers, and you can explore on-demand, in-person, and virtual courses. You'll find 1,800 blog posts on all things internal comms related, and it's the way to order a signed copy of my book, Internal Communication Strategy. See allthingsic.com. Welcome back. The last part of our conversation today is something for you to think about. And I've got an example that I'm going to share with you. And this is from chapter 4 of my book. It's from the logistics chapter around how internal communication happens. A professional standard for communications and engagement for England's Fire and Rescue Service has been published. It's part of a move to professionalise communications in this high-profile area of the public sector. It clarifies the importance of effective communication and engagement in all aspects of a fire and rescue service. And I thought I'd share this with you as a really lovely example of what setting standards actually can look like inside an organisation or for a whole sector. So the Fire Standards Board, which is responsible for the development of fire standards, approved this standard in 2023. And the board is composed of major stakeholders in the fire and rescue sector. It includes the Home Office, the Local Government Association, the National Fire Chiefs Council, and the Association of Police and Crime Commissioners, as well as being led by an independent chair and vice chair. And the board has responsibility for creating fire standards that cover all the activity that fire and rescue services do in England. And what I like about these standards is that they were created and drafted with expert input, including FirePro, which is the membership body for communication professionals working in fire and rescue, the National Fire Chiefs Council's communications team, and communications and collaboration specialists from a wide range of fire and rescue services. The standard also covers engagement. And now, to achieve the standard, a fire and rescue service must take a strategic approach to communications and engagement, including consultation. However, the Fire Standards Board said that they understood A one-size-fits-all approach does not work. Recognising how the differently located fire and rescue services vary, for example, by geography and demographics. So services are each left to decide how best to go about meeting the standard stated requirements to achieve the outcome required. Now, I spent some time with the Fire Standards Board while I was researching my book in 2023. And Suzanne McCarthy, who's the chair of the Fire Standards Board, said to me, "The Communications and Engagement Fire Standards has as its aim to drive improvement and enhance professionalism, helping to identify what good looks like for the benefit of both fire and rescue service personnel and the communities that they serve." Something that I really like is a quote from the Fire Standards Board that says, "The fire standard will give an even bigger focus on where strategic communications and engagement can benefit services, encouraging consistency across the sector, reaffirming that good communications and engagement is everyone's responsibility." Love that. What a peach of a quote. I love that. I'm going to put in the show notes the outcome statement so you can see it in full, and I'm going to read it to you. So this is an example of an approved standard for communications and engagement, and it's been described as an outcome statement. This is the language that we love, comms friends. We are always trying to move from input and output to outcomes. It's the so what. So what's going to happen as a result? I'm going to read it to you. So this is the approved standard for communications and engagement, their outcome statement. "A fire and rescue service whose leaders understand and champion its inclusive approach to communications and engagement, contributing to its positive culture and working environment. Through good leadership, everyone knows both when to use effective communication to support the safety and well-being of their communities and people, and when to engage to gain insight, encourage involvement, and build trust." How nice is this language? I love it. "A service where everyone recognises and understands their important role in communicating and engaging. They communicate openly and effectively, internally and externally, and particularly through times of change. They actively listen and welcome feedback, especially through consultation, to keep people engaged, informed, and reassured." Love it. I love this. "Its people develop and maintain positive relationships within and outside of the service, building trust, creating advocates, and resulting in successful collaborations and partnerships. It ensures its vision, strategic objectives, and any information it needs to share are delivered in a way that's understandable and accessible to all, because it tailors its communications and engagement approaches to suit its multiple audiences. Based on its community risk management planning and driven by insight and engagement, the service knows who are the most vulnerable and in need in its community. It contributes to community resilience using effective techniques to connect with its communities. It draws upon established behavioural science methods to inform how it educates and encourages communities to adopt safer practices. When carrying out its civil contingencies role and in times of emergency and crisis, the service communicates clearly to warn, inform, protect, and reassure the public, coordinating with others when appropriate. It evaluates the effectiveness of its communications and engagement activities using learning to improve." So that's from the Fire Standards Board. Obviously, it's very niche into fire and rescue services, but the language in there, I couldn't stop myself from as I was reading twice. Just love it. Couldn't help myself from commenting. As a desired outcome, there is a lot of excellent information in there to help communicators know how to anchor their communications in the right way. And there are many facets to that outcome statement. So my question for you, and what I'm going to leave you with as we close this episode together, is to ask you, could something like this be useful for your organisation? Having a published standard for internal communication and or engagement, what is the desired outcome of your internal communication? Do you know? Is it written down somewhere? Is it clear? Is it repeated? So that's what I'm going to close our conversation with today, is an encouragement for you. If you were listening to that thinking, yeah, a lot of that actually applies to our organisation, but we've never explicitly stated that. We've not published it as a standard that we can hold ourselves to account. I wonder whether that could be a useful exercise for you to do. As ever, I love hearing from you. Do let me know what you're going to do differently as a result of listening to this episode of the Candid Comms podcast. You can find me, Rachel Miller, on LinkedIn. Look me up, Rachel All Things I See, on Instagram. Or why not send me a message via the website, hello@allthingsisee.com. And remember, what happens inside is reflected outside. See you again soon.